إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you that in everything that we do in life, effort is directly proportional to the reality of the goal. Effort is directly proportional to the reality of the goal. The degree to which the goal is real to us, to that degree only do we make effort. Not more, not less. I want you to reflect on this, because this is the issue with our deen as well. The degree to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real to us, to that degree we will try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The degree to which Jannah is real to us, to that degree will we work for Jannah. And don't worry about all the knowledge that you think you have in your head, or the length of your beard, or whether you cover your head or you don't cover your head, or how tall your thobe is, or how short your pajama is. Issue is what is in your heart. How real is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you? And the test of that is also very simple. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. The test of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the first heaven every night, and an announcement is made. Who is it that wants anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let him ask and Allah will give. The one who is standing at that time, the one who is in sujood at that time, to him Allah is real. The one who is snoring in his bed, to him Allah is not real. Don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. We have today the pretension of being close to Allah. The pretension of wanting to be close to Allah. It's not the reality. Not the reality. Pretension. Because even in a program that is being run purely for the pleasure of Allah, where you have spent time and energy and money to travel from long distances and come to this program, where tahajjud is being prayed by jama'at, we find that some people are not there for tahajjud, they are not even there for salatul fajr, and then they come towards the tail end of salatul fajr and they are completing their salah when the salah is over. And you are supposed to be here for the pleasure of Allah, to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? If you got some magic formula, tell me, because I also would like to sleep for another 2 hours. I said this to you yesterday and I'm saying it to you again today, and I'll say it to you till the day I die, inshallah. Without the willingness to make effort, there is no connection with Allah and there is no Jannah. Don't fool yourself. It doesn't matter how many books you read, doesn't matter how many courses you attend, it doesn't matter if you stand on your head or your tail. If you are not willing to make effort, it is not going to happen. As simple as that. And that effort is visible. It's visible. Not to me, to yourself. Of course it is visible to Allah, but it's also visible to yourself. Today we live in a world where we are hugely concerned about the furu'at, about the things which are really very small and not so important. We are very concerned whether we should fold our hands here or here or like this. I don't know what people do here. Have the hand like this, eh? Have it like this. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Which bit mazhab is this? Like this? Under your chin? Twisted like this? There is dignity in ibadah. There is dignity in ibadah. But we are concerned about that. But we are not concerned about standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not concerned about khushu in our salah. We are not concerned about actually waking up and coming and standing before Allah jalla wa'ala. So how is this going to happen? Tell me. As I said, effort is proportional to the degree to which that goal is real to us. Nobody makes effort for some fantasy which is really, you know, it's not real, it's something. No. So I remind myself and you to constantly ask this question: how real is Allah to me? And this is not my theory. This is not my theory. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam. In Hadith Jibreel, which you will read in the book, which Sheikh Muhammad will be teaching you here, inshallah, the description of Ihsan. Where, what did he say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Anta abud Allah ka annaka tara. He said, worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah. Worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the state of our worship? My brothers and sisters, think about this. This worship which is so difficult, huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the purpose for which I created you. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created us for any purpose. Allah could have created us for any purpose. And if Allah had created us for a purpose and we had been fulfilling that purpose, we would have still got Jannah. Because we were fulfilling the purpose for which Allah created us. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created us for the purpose of cleaning the toilets of the world. Muslims are created for the purpose of cleaning the toilets of the world. So your whole life you would have spent cleaning toilets in filth, and you would have been fulfilling the purpose of your creation and you would have got Jannah. We are not talking about that. We are talking about the route to Jannah. The route to Jannah could have been cleaning the toilets of the people of the world. How do you thank your Rabb and my Rabb that He did not make that the purpose of your and my creation? He said the purpose of your and my creation is to make wudu, to wear good clothes, to wear perfume, to come into His house, which looks good, which smells good, which is clean, and to stand before Him with dignity and with this dirty tongue of ours which spends us, it's time cursing this and that, to recite His kalam. Not even to worship Him the way we think. Because our kalam can never be superior to His kalam. Allah did not say, describe me and glorify me, whatever is in your heart. Whichever way you like. He didn't say that. He said, glorify me in my words. Who is Allah? Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Qur'an. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. In his words, Allah gave us that honor. And He said, your purpose of your existence is, come into the masajid. Glorify me in my words. Recite to me my kalam. Waratil al-Quran tartila. Recite to me my kalam. Should we not thank Allah for this? Just this alone. Walat. I thank you for making this the purpose of my creation. We make one sajda only to thank Allah for the permission to make sajda. Did you think about this? How many of us thank Allah for the permission to make sajda? What would this life have been if there was no Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Quran. What would this life be if there was no recitation of the Kalam of Allah? What would this life be without Ramadan and without Taraweeh? What would life be without listening to the Qurra of the Quran? And wallahi, among the many things that I envy the Sahaba, the one thing I envy them the most is that they were the only generation who actually listened to the Quran with Sawti Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody else. We listen to the Quran, alhamdulillah, with Sawti Qari Fulan bin Fulan bin Fulan, mashallah, may Allah bless them. But nobody except that generation listen to the Quran with Sawti Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one but that generation, when they stood behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and listened to his recitation, knew the asbabul nuzul of that recitation by personal experience. They were there. We know the asbabul nuzul because we read about them, because our asatis had taught them to us and said, this happened, this happened, this happened. But neither my ustad was there nor was I there. But that generation of sahaba, they were there when it was happening. They were there when it was happening. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبُدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِن تُبُدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite this, there were those behind him who would listen to that recitation, and they would remember those days. They would remember the day when this ayah was revealed. And they would remember how difficult this ayah was on them. And they would remember, I'm not talking about they will remember the story, they will remember the experience of how difficult this ayah was on them. And how they asked each other and they said, how can we bear this ayah? How can we bear this ayah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will hold us accountable for what is in our hearts, that He will hold us accountable for our desires and our thoughts. مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And He will punish, and He will forgive who He wishes, and He will punish who He wishes. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. They remembered that day. And then they remembered what happened. And they remembered that they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they fell down on their knees before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not make sajda to the Nabi. They fell down on their knees with the weight of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lighten that kalam in our hearts. Wallahi, we recite this kalam like it's some poetry or some song or something. It doesn't do anything inside. But the Sahaba, every word of their Rabb was real. Their Rabb was real to them. So every word of their Rabb was real. This is my Allah speaking to me. My Shaykh used to say that you will never get khushu in the salah until the Quran is revealed on your heart. He used to say, namaz mein khushu nahi aayega jab tak ke Quran tumhare dil pe nazil na hoga. He used to say that namaz, the salah, you will never get khushu in the salah until the nuzul of the Quran is not on your heart. And the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain, they will remember that day. And they remembered that they went before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pray and we pray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to give zakat and we give zakat. In Tafsir Ibn Kathir, this is there in the Tafsir of these ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, read it. The Asbab al-Nuzul is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pray and we pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pay zakat and we pay zakat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will hold us accountable for what is in our hearts. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have control over our actions and our speech, but we have no control over the desires in our hearts and we have no control on the thoughts in our minds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying He will hold us accountable and that He will punish or He will forgive. How can we bear this? How can we bear this? My brothers and sisters, I've mentioned this many times and I'm saying it again. Tell me, do you think that that statement, does it sound reasonable to you or not? Yes or no? Sounds reasonable. But you know the reaction of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put yourself in that position. Don't listen to the story. Put yourself in that position that you are standing behind Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he is reciting these ayat in Salatul Fajr and you are listening to the recitation of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you are able to picture in your mind what happened on that day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed face became red with anger. And he said, will you be like those before you? Who when they received the kalam of Allah, when they received the ahkam wa ilahi jalla jalalu, they used to say, sami'na wa asayna. We heard but we will not do. Sorry. We hear you but we will not obey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kul. He said, say. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words to his companions, to his sahaba, to his students, to his muridin. He said, قل سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Say, oh our Rabb, we hear you and we will obey. No questions, no arguments, no nothing, no justifications, no excuses. We hear you and we obey. Ghufranaka Rabbana, oh Allah, forgive us. Wa ilayka al-masir. And to you is our return. The reality of that, my brothers and sisters, the reality of that, I remind myself, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the reality of His existence, to the reality of who He is, of His being, to the reality of standing before Him, so that we yearn to stand before Him. We yearn to stand before Him. In Urdu there is a word called tarasna. Tarasna is to yearn for something. You are so hungry, you are in the desert, you are about to die, you are dying for a drop of water. It's that kind of yearning. Yearning to be before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Farihna ya Bilal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, give us happiness ya Bilal, go call the other.
Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Somebody asked his servant, he said, tell us about the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas. The servant said, Abdullah ibn Abbas prays one salah and he waits for the next salah. And in that period he recites Quran. Can you imagine this? He's waiting for salah. Salat al-Fajr is over. Subhanallah, it's finished. It's finished. That's all there was. 10 minutes of recitation. Khalas. Now when will Dhuhr come? When will Dhuhr come? When will I again stand before my Rabb? Yearning to be with Allah. And during the rest of the day, while he used to do his work, he would recite Quran. He would recite Quran. So the Sahaba standing behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they knew the reality, they remembered that day when this happened. And then they remembered what they did. And this is what made that generation what it was. السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. And what was that? It was سمعنا وأطعنا. It was obedience. So the moment they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a ma'ruza, not with an objection, these are all hard words. Our languages have the right adab to speak about these things. They came with a supplication, a request. But that request was turned down. And their Shaykh Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them what they should do. So what did they do? Did they say, Ya Rasulullah, you know what, you didn't really understand what we are saying. We didn't really mean that. Did they say that? They said, Sami'na wa ata'ana, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. All the objections gone. All the requests gone. The Nabi said, say, O Allah, we hear and we obey. So they say, we hear and we obey. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues the recitation, the Sahaba listening to that kalam behind him. And as I said, put yourself there in that saf. Put yourself in that saf. Insert yourself wherever you like. Maybe you want to stand between Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Or maybe you want to stand beside Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Or maybe you want to stand behind Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Insert yourself in that saf. Make it real, make it real. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues that recitation, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, they remember what happened thereafter. The wages of obedience, the reward for obedience. And what was the reward for obedience? The reward for obedience is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took those words, the words of His Nabi and the words which were repeated by the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took those exact same words and returned them as His kalam. He sent Jibreel alayhi salam with exactly those words. And the words of the Nabi and the words of the Sahaba were returned as the kalam of Allah Jalla wa Ala to be recited until the day of judgment. Or until He wishes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Sahaba how to make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated that ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed His word. He changed that ayah. And He said, I will not hold you responsible for that which is not in your control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then taught the Sahaba how to make dua. Consider this, reflect on this. Who is teaching them how to make dua? The one to whom the dua is being made. The one who accepts that dua. What of that dua which is taught by the one who accepts it? What about the acceptance of that dua? Ajib! Ajib! Jibreel alayhi salam came
And as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is completing the recitation, the Sahaba behind him, they are seeing that scene. They are seeing that scene where Jibreel Alayhi Salaam descended. And he brought the kalam of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And the Sahaba and Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recognized the words in that kalam. And before those words, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala bore witness to the iman and yaqeen of his Nabi and the Sahaba. Who is their witness? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala himself. Because he said, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. And then their Rabb consoles them. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Their Rabb consoles them. And then he taught them how to make dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَعْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَعَافُ عَنَّا وَغُفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. آمين يا رب العالمين. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, whenever he recited these ayat, he would say Ameen. My brothers and sisters, I want to end today with reminding myself anew that effort towards a goal depends on how real that goal is to us. And the way to make, to clean our hearts and to allow the reflection of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to happen in that heart, to allow the reality of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to illuminate our hearts, the way to do that is to stand before Him in tahajjud. Make no mistake, don't fool yourself by thinking that you are doing some great work of deen if that great work of deen cannot make you wake up in for tahajjud. If you cannot wake up for tahajjud, you have already failed. Please. The reason I'm saying this, I'm not making tahajjud fard on you. I'm saying this to you because you said that you want to do the work of da'wah. You said that you want to connect with Allah. You said that you want to have make your salah full of khushu as if you see Allah. وَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَكْتَ. If you cannot see Allah, you know that Allah is seeing you. You said that. So I am telling you what you need to do. If you want to go back to your minimalist thinking and you say, no, I want to sleep peacefully and then I will pray Salatul Fajr. Why do I need to go to the masjid? I will pray at home. Maybe the masjid is far away. I am not saying I will not pray. I will pray. Do it. Do it. You are not worshipping me. You are worshipping your Rabb. If you accept, what do I care? But I can only tell you what I was taught. And I was taught that if you want to connect with Allah, the time is tahajjud. The time is to stand alone before Him. The time is to reflect on what we recite. The time is to cry before Him. Is to weep tears before Him. And the time is to connect with him and try to please him and beg him and plead with him. And if you cannot do that, then make tawbah and make tawbah and make tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake you up for tahajjud. Set 4 alarms and hook up a wire and put it into the plug with the alarm and tie it to your toe so that when the alarm goes off, you get a shock. Right? Ajib, do something, man. Do something. Because wallahi, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, how do we know whether an amal is accepted? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts an amal of yours, then he will give you the tawfiq to do that more. To remember, if you are not waking up for tahajjud, this is a musibah. This is a musibah. The door is closing for you. The heart is being sealed. It's not fun and games. It is a musibah. Cry before Allah, beg Allah, Ya Allah, please don't do this. Ya Allah, please don't close the door. Ya Allah, do not close the door. Ya Allah, leave it open. Ya Allah, clean my heart. Beg to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said, that I committed one sin, because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived me from tahajjud for 1 month. If Sufyan al-Thawri can commit a sin, what do you think I can do? What do you think you can do? Yeah? It is only the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has different standards for different people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applied the standard of the Sahaba to us, there would be a flash and there would be nobody here. That's it, period. Vaporized. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my pretension of salah Allah accepts. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept that. This is not salah. This is not salah. Salah is the salah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salah is the salah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Salah is the salah of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. Salah is the salah of Sa'd bin Mu'ad radiallahu anhu. That is salah. This is not salah. This is the acting of salah. This is the pretension of salah. But it is the mercy of your Rabb and my Rabb that even that pretension we ask him to accept. Because we say, Allah, I can only do this. I am only like this. What to do? So please accept. Make this salah muzayyan. Elevate this salah to a level where it is worthy of you. And accept this. A poor man went to meet the king. And he, as he was leaving, his wife said, you are going to go to the king, you are going to meet the king and you are not taking anything with you, some gift for the king. The man said, what can I take? I have nothing. I am a poor man. I am going to meet the king to ask something from the king. He said, no, you can't do that. You have to take something. So he said, what should I take? So there was a handful of rice in the house. So the woman said, take this. So the man put the handful of rice in a small bag and he took it. So he went to meet the king. And when he met the king asked him, so what did you bring for me? So the man, he hid it behind his back, he took it out and he said, I am ashamed, what could I do? I only have this. I am a poor man. So he gave him the rice. So the king opened the bag and he took the rice and he put a few grains in his mouth, raw rice. And then he called his treasurer. And he said to the treasurer, take a bag, fill a bag with coins of gold coins and bring it. And he gave him a big bag of gold coins. So the man said, I brought you a small bag of rice and you gave me a big bag of gold coins. The king said, you give me what you have and I can give you only what I have. And we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala, Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqq La Ilaha Illa Huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. We ask him, Allah, we bring to you our sins. Because that's what we have. What to do? If we had any good deeds, we would have brought them. But we don't have them. What to do? We only bring our sins. But all you give for us, what you have, which is your forgiveness. You can only give what you have, which is your forgiveness. We can only give you what we have, which is our sins. We ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us with his forgiveness.
We ask Allah and say, Allah, there is no sin that I can ever commit which is bigger than your forgiveness. And since you opened the door of Tawbah, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the door of Tawbah if we didn't want to accept it? And He said He accepts it. قَابِلُ التَّوْبِ وَغَافِرُ الزَّمْبِ. We make Tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect us with Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who do not pretend anymore, that we actually make effort. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tire us in the effort to please Him and to be pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our du'as, because that is His shan, that He accepts the du'as. Because He said He will accept du'as. Ud'uni yastajib lakum. That is what He said, and we ask Him in the by virtue of his speech, by virtue of His own words, we ask Him, and say, oh, Ya Allah, You said this, so accept it. We ask du'a and You accept it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, to cover us with His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn that which is beneficial for us, to save us from riya, to save us from showing off, to save us from the fitna of fame. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us some quiet, small, I ask this for myself. I don't ask it for yourself. If you want it, ask it for yourself. That I should be some quiet, small man who nobody knows. Quiet somewhere in some corner that no one knows. Except my Rabb, Allah. No one knows. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wipe out my name and my face from everyone in the world, so that only He knows and nobody knows. No name, no fame, no nothing except the Rada of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and me such that when we raise our hands to ask Him, that He accepts those du'as before the hands are lowered. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our brothers and sisters wherever they are, to cover them with His mercy, to cover them with His protection, to cover them with His grace and His majesty and glory, and to make them victorious over the enemies. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect their honor, to protect their iman, to protect them physically and materially. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them victory over those who are oppressing them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free them from the slavery of human beings and enter them into the slavery of Himself. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.